Well, if Sean Glennon and Rhiannon Gorham are here from the Quincy Planning Department, it must be time to talk about CD Week, and it is Community Development Block Grant Week, traditionally the week following Easter, and it's early this year, so it is coming up April 6th through the 10th here in Quincy. Welcome, Sean, Rhiannon. Great to see you both again.
Great to see you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is really the true sign of spring.
It really is.
Not crocuses or daffodils or any of that. It's CD Week.
And you know the snow is going to be gone soon whenever we show up. So
we hope so.
We try to bring a little ray of sunshine.
Exactly. We appreciate that. For folks who don't know, it's CD Week. The program itself is over 50 years old, right, Sean?
Yeah, we're actually celebrating the 51st year this year, which is remarkable that it's one of the longest serving block grant programs in the country.
Yeah.
We're glad Congress still appreciates it and wants to fund it. It seems like regardless of the administrations, this program has received broad bipartisan support for a half century now. So hopefully that will continue in the future.
Right.
It's a wonderful program. It has been around, like I said, for over 50 years, and we've done some great things over the years. The city has received over $100 million during that time.
That's incredible.
Established the Manic Community Health Center in Housneck, which hopefully we'll talk about a little bit during the calendar.
Certainly.
But things like street and sidewalk repair, community center programs, economic development, housing rehab, the list just goes on and on, and that's what's so great about the program. It's so flexible. You can pretty much do almost anything with it.
Yeah, and it's a grant. It's a federal grant, right?
So that's right.
The city doesn't have to pay it back.
That's right.
Yeah, it just receives it on an annual basis, but the funding varies, right?
Yes, so each year it's a little bit different. This year, the past several years, has been about $1.8 million, which is great to have. I do like to make the analogy, though, that back in the late 70s, our allocation was also about $1.8 million. And of course,
which went a lot further than it
sure
does
did.
Now.
Sure did. And there were fewer cross-cutting federal regulations at the time, so it really went a lot further back in those days. So we, again, used this opportunity to try to just advocate for additional funding, try to tell our members of Congress that over the past 50 years, the federal allocation has increased by 50%, which is great, but the number of communities receiving the funding has increased by 100%.
Oh, interesting.
From 600 to 1,200. So that slice of the pie is gets a little thinner.
Yes.
With that funding, continuing at those levels.
So not every community receives CDBG funds.
No. The threshold is a community of 50,000 or more.
Oh, all right.
And so each year, as those populations increase, more and more communities are coming into the fold,
which
is great. But unfortunately, the federal allocation is not keeping up with that number, and not let alone with inflation. So it's been tough.
Yeah, and are the funds earmarked for special areas that have to be used for?
Either in a low moderate income area,
that's
census based, or funding low and moderate income individuals. So it's either by place or by serving a certain population.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we are able to categorize and approve things multiple ways, which is great to have that flexibility.
Yes. So how is it allocated? Throughout the year, or is it one-time lump sum that it's spent?
Once-time allocation per year.
Okay.
We, as part of our application process, we tell HUD how we intend to use the funds.
Yes.
And then sometimes that might fluctuate during the years. Things might slow down or pick up in certain areas. We decide we might try to fund something earlier than later.
Right. Okay.
Sometimes we kind of swap out where those pieces are going to go. But we tell HUD on an annual basis how we intend to use the funds. And then at the end of the year, we file an annual report, tell them what we actually did.
Sure.
And and we just go from there.
Yes. How do you intend to use the funds this year, Sean?
Well, it starts with, there's an RFP process that comes out in the
winter.
Request
for proposals.
Thank you.
Okay.
These acronyms, we're used to them, but of course, public isn't so much. And so that's something that the community centers will apply for, Quincy College, some other nonprofits, and they'll come in and say, here's an idea we have. A lot of them are renewals for community centers in particular. These are local nonprofits that rely on this federal funding to just keep the lights on. So we see a lot of those, but happy to welcome new applications as well.
Okay.
That gets tough with the allocations being what they are.
Mm.
It's really hard to be able to fund new things in addition to the renewals. But so we're looking at community center program, economic development, and we'll get into that a little bit with the calendar. Mm-hmm. We have actually a new program starting this year with an organization called ICIC.
Nice.
And Steve Grossman, former state treasurer, for some economic development programs. Again, the street and sidewalk repair, that's going to be out there. That's always an issue, especially this time of year.
Yes.
Those potholes come up.
Especially after this winter, yes.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And housing rehab through our in-house Office of Healthy Homes, which obviously, we're grateful to QATV's partnership with that podcast that continues.
Yes, so understand they just got a big lead abatement grant, $4 million, I think.
Yes, yeah. Which just started on April 1st.
Super.
So we're going to open the doors to get those applications going.
That's great. So is all this year's CDBG funds been allocated?
It has been allocated for us. All the grant award letters are out there, and then we kind of track it during the year.
Gotcha.
If other funds become available, if something comes in under budget, which actually does happen rather frequently, which we're happy to see, that we can either reallocate that in the same year or carry it forward to next year
to
maybe do something bigger that we maybe didn't have the funds for.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Okay. So it's too late to apply for this year.
Unfortunately, yes.
All right.
Yes, but I would ask folks to keep a lookout for next year. Usually we try to get those out in December, early January, that RFP process.
Yeah, and this week coming up, April 6th through the 10th, is really designed to showcase what you're doing with the money, right? To highlight, to spotlight it, and to show the community how it's being used.
Exactly. It's one of those programs that people, especially when it comes to the first-time home buyer, housing rehab program, something like that, often people come in and say, this is the best-kept secret in the city or hidden gem. And we don't like to hear that.
we don't want to keep it a secret.
We don't want it to be a secret.
Right.
It's out there for, you know, especially seniors with the housing rehab program. We want them to know about this.
Absolutely.
And so it's a great opportunity for us to get the word out there. We have a phenomenal marketing team in our Office of Healthy Homes to help spread the word about those particular programs. But again, this is an opportunity for the public to get a better understanding of what we do. And again, to advocate to our members of Congress to illustrate why this is so important and why they should keep funding it.
Sure. I would think you're preaching to the choir here in Massachusetts. It gets full support every year, does it not, from the delegation?
100%. Yeah. Congressman Lynch is no stranger to Quincy. He comes to these events every year. We're grateful for his support. But it is a national advocacy period where we try to help other members in other parts of the country. We're a member of NCDA, it's the National Community Development Association, so this being a nationwide program, we do try to help our brothers and sisters in other parts of the country to assist them in making some of those calls and get the word out there too.
Not only that, but I know you assist even local neighboring communities, right?
That's right, that's probably a surprise to a lot of Quincy residents, is that we're actually the lead of a 5-member home consortium for another program that's called the Home Program, but even with the LED program as well, we do work with our neighboring communities, Weymouth, Milton, Braintree. We actually just started with Randolph last year well, so part of our home consortium, which is it's a separate block grant program, which is used to preserve, create, and maintain affordable housing.
Okay.
And so that's something that, again, people will probably be surprised that Quincy is the lead of that South Shore community.
Yeah, it's the largest municipality in Norfolk County, right? The only real city type government in Norfolk County, so it's not surprising.
Right, and we're happy to help those other folks that might not have the internal capacity to be able to run a program like that.
And you brought up a good point, too, that this is a bipartisan. This helps, quote-unquote, red and blue states, right? It's supported on all levels.
That's right, and actually President Nixon was scheduled to sign the adoption bill way back in the day, and that ended up being President Ford. But this just goes to show you, too, that even during a Republican administration at the time, that was the idea, was to bring folks together, consolidate these block grant programs, and really ultimately leave it up to the local government to determine. This is not a pass-through to the state.
Mm-hmm.
The state does receive funding for communities that don't receive a direct allocation. But otherwise, it was meant to be designed so that it goes directly from the federal government to local communities, because as Congressman Lynch often says when he's here, those communities know best where the money needs to go.
Absolutely.
So we're happy to do that.
Yeah, and it's why the city and federal census is so important, right? To be able to make sure that the city's getting its proper allocation.
Absolutely, there are two formulas that HUD uses to determine what the allocation is going to be, which is great. They give us the higher of the two, however it works out.
Okay.
But population and age of housing stock are two major factors.
Okay.
And so when that population goes up, and we saw that with the 2020 census, 101,600 people. That was a 10% increase over the previous census.
Wow.
That was a huge shift. And we jumped over New Bedford in the last census. So we're one place higher in terms of population in the state. And so that increases our allocation.
Very good. Okay, Rhiannon, what's going to be happening for CD Week in Quincy 2026?
A whole lot of events.
Something every day, actually.
Yeah, we are lucky this year that we have something going on pretty much every day, and that we have so many different partners and subrecipients that we work with that we can kind of rely on them to help us with these events throughout the week. So we've got a little bit of something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to spread it throughout Quincy in different neighborhoods. So we have a pretty good week ahead of us.
Yeah. Let's run it down. Let's
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Monday will be at the Asian American Service Association, which operates out of the Wollaston Lutheran Church. They host a whole bunch of different activities throughout the year. They do different senior luncheons and field trips. They have courses for kids that want to learn Chinese. They do ESL courses. They have ping pong there, other board games. It's just a really nice place for the seniors in that area. They also have a group of senior women that teach cultural dance there. So they perform weekly for themselves there. They teach it to some of the younger generations. And then we always ask them to perform like a cultural dance for the community.
Okay.
So if you've never had the opportunity to see like a cultural traditional Chinese dance, we will be putting that on Monday from 10 to 11. And it's just really nice. They do a couple of different variations, just come in there, perform the dance, just kind of sit and watch and enjoy. You get to meet some of the members of this of the center there. And that is one of the community centers that we fund through CDBG as well.
Very nice.
Would love to have anyone come check that out. It is a really kind of unique opportunity to kind of come see. Tuesday, we are doing the second annual Lunch and Learn that we've done for public service providers in the city. So that is a more closed event, more of a professional development event for any of the public service or community workers in the city. So that ranges from folks that work at Father Bill's and QCAP to some of the folks that work here in the Council of Aging for the city. So really any staff in the city that work for like a nonprofit or that have direct impact with different members of the community. And it's an opportunity for those people to connect with each other to know what services, you know, what services QCAP might offer and what Father Bill's and if they can refer them to a food pantry or that kind of a thing.
Interfaith, Salvation Army.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So they can cross-refer their clients and know what each agency kind of does.
I see.
This year, we're having a testimonial, which is something different, of an individual named Victoria who went through Recovered Souls, which is a program we funded last year. So she's giving her testimonial on her kind of journey through recovery and how this organization helped her and how the CDBG funds helped pay for her to go through this program. And then we're also having a lunch and learn session with a social worker that teaches, does a lot of work about positivity and thinking positive in the workplace. So he's going to come and kind of give a little talk about like positive thinking and how that can improve your work performance.
Okay.
So that will be nice. And then the rest of that time is really, like I said before, just a time for the folks that work in those industries to kind of network. And we'll be doing that at the Four River Clubhouse.
Oh, okay.
So a nice event there.
Which was a big recipient of CDBG
funds
last year,
as
I recall.
It certainly was, yep. And it's a great space, too, to hold any sort of event.
Sure.
So very convenient to have that there.
Very nice.
At 5, I think Sean kind of mentioned earlier, is going to be the launch of one of our new economic development funded partners, Initiative for a Competitive Inner City, or ICIC, as you'll probably hear us refer to it.
Okay.
And that's an organization led by former state treasurer Steve Grossman.
Yeah.
They operate right now out of Boston, so they are already kind of operating in Massachusetts. This will be the launch of their program to Quincy and the South Shore. Right now, the Boston program operates, it is a fully online program, but they do a few in-person days out of Roxbury Community College. So Quincy College, who is another one of our economic development partners, will be serving as the flagship physical location for that program, which is really nice because Quincy College is hosting this event as our physical space. And then ICIC is kind of launching. So there are two economic development partners at the moment. Mm-hmm. So they're also kind of, it's nice to have them connected as well and kind of supporting each other.
Okay. What is kind of the mission of that initiative?
Yeah. So their mission is to help small businesses in kind of similar CDBG format in low to moderate income areas or gateway cities to scale up their businesses. So it's really for any small business that has 50 or less employees that operates, well, now in Quincy, because now it will be launching here.
Right. Which is a lot.
It is. And it's a nice program. They refer to it as a mini uncredited MBA program. It's about 4 months, I believe. The first 2 days are in person, and it is led by real instructors. So they have instructors from kind of all over the country, some from Boston. They've got a few from Ohio State that come in. The first 2 days are in person, like almost MBA level sessions for business owners or managers. And then the rest of it is a fully online self-paced program that allows business owners to kind of focus on what they feel they might need the most.
Sure.
So if you're a business owner that needs more help with the accounting side, you could kind of focus on that. If you wanted to learn more about AI, you could learn more about that. So it's really nice that it's a self-paced program, and it's free to any of the business owners that want to participate.
Was my next question, yep. Rhiannon, yep. Do you have to pay? No, yep. Okay.
No, it's free to any business owner.
Very good. So if I'm a small business owner in mm-hmm. Quincy now, I could qualify to partake in this.
Or you could send, the other great thing about that is too, you could send really anyone that has any decision-making ability for your company.
For
so
your
if you had a manager or director, that kind of wanted a little bit more of like a background on the business side of things, they could participate on behalf of the owner as well.
Okay. What if you're considering starting a small business? Would this be something that it would benefit from, you think?
It could be, yeah. I don't see why not. I mean, the kind of stipulations from the company right now is that it's a small business with 50 or under, but they are a nonprofit that's, their main goal is to help scale up businesses.
Okay.
So I wouldn't not look into it or apply because of that, yeah.
You never know who you're going to meet or talk to, right? Yeah. Okay, so that's 5 o'clock on Tuesday at Quincy College, you said.
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay. That one is a closed
also,
event,
right.
Because of space limitations,
gotcha.
But everyone will be aware of the launch the next day.
Yes, okay, good.
And then that night, virtual kicks off the first-time homebuyer course with Quincy Community Action Programs, or QCAP. That is a really great program that QCAP offers. I think they do it every couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
We included it as part of our Community Development Week because we, one, wanted to make folks aware of the fact that QCAP has this program, and because our Office of the Healthy Homes has a down payment assistance program that requires you to have done a first-time homebuyer's course as well.
Okay, so this will qualify you for that.
Yes, okay. So we just wanted people to be aware that if you one of the down payment assistance program and also of the first-time homebuyers program, but that they kind of do go together.
Gotcha.
So we have had a few this year as part of CD Week. We offered the first 5 people that signed up. We covered the cost for that through QCAP. So we filled those 5 spots, which was great. We had a really good response for that. And then some other folks that just didn't even know that that was a program being offered and are registering on their own. So that starts Wednesday. Tuesday, I'm sorry.
Yep.
And it does require you to attend all 3 sessions back to back. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night.
Okay. And folks have to sign up for that, right?
Yep. They can email me or they can go directly through QCAP, whatever is easiest.
Okay. And it's done virtually?
It's virtual, yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they need some kind of access to the internet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Wednesday is just kind of the second class there for the first time home buyer.
Yep.
And then Thursday is our other kind of our big day.
Thursday is a big day. Lots going on.
And Thursday is a nice day because those events are open to anyone all day. We'd love to have everyone with us all day long.
Okay.
So from 12 to 2, we're going to be doing an open house at the HouseNet Community Center. The HouseNet Community Center, I don't know if you've ever been down there, but we are big fans. They're a very engaged community center. They do a whole bunch of, similar to the Asian American Service Association, they do senior luncheons, they have movie nights for families, they have a lot of arts and crafts for kids, they do things like a sports swap, obviously host Chowda Fest, which I think everyone in the city is familiar with Chowda Fest.
That's what I've been to.
Yeah, the 3rd of July bike parade, so I guess those are probably the things that everyone thinks of.
Right.
But it is the 70th anniversary of the HouseNet Community Council.
It is. Really?
So we wanted to really highlight the council and the community center this year. So that open house is exactly what it sounds like. From 12 to 2, we'll be there with some refreshments, coffee, probably donuts, stuff like that.
Yep.
Bring your kids. There'll be coloring books, board games. It'll be decorated nice. There'll be folks just coming in and meeting each other, people from the community that will be hanging out there for the day.
Okay.
So just come in, grab some coffee, chit-chat with people, play some board games, probably have some music going. So just like a fun come stop by. If you've never been there before, we'd really like to have you come check it out.
Sure. So that's noon to 2, April 9th, HouseNet Community Center, 1193 C Street.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Shares the building with Manit.
Right.
So when you get up there and you see Manit, don't be nervous. It's the same building.
That's right.
And then we'll be there also from 4 to 6, where we're doing a more formal ceremony for both HouseNet Community Council and Manit. Like I mentioned, they share a building.
Okay.
And that building houses both of them. So the mayor will be there to kind of give his remarks about how important the council has been for the last 70 years,
sure.
And then also the work that Manit does in House Neck. So it's really a celebration of everything going on in the neck.
Yeah, where Manit started, right?
Yeah.
Actually,
That's right. Yeah, the history, this is a city-owned building, and what's really remarkable about this, not only is that CDBG funding established this building, you know, back in the late 70s. But this building has the unique record of being the longest serving, continuously operating CDBG-funded project, not just in Quincy, not just in the state, but in the entire country.
Is that right?
It received that distinction from the National Community Development Association a couple years ago when they had the national conference. Actually, it was in Boston, on Cambridge. And yeah, it did a national survey to try to find, you know, celebrating 50 years, where's the longest project? And it's right here in our backyard. It's a remarkable story. And the fact that this partnership has existed between, you know, Housenek, the Community Council, and Manet Community Health, and it's, that it's a city-owned building, and that our Department of Public Buildings does a great job, you know, maintaining that.
It's a municipal building, right?
Exactly.
So absolutely.
So really appreciate their partnership.
And look how Manet has grown since then. It's all over southeastern Massachusetts.
It's amazing.
Now.
Three sites just in Quincy alone.
Right.
It is a remarkable nonprofit, and of course they have a space now at the the Yawkey Housing Resource Center on Broad Street, which is a tremendous, you know, resource to that community as well. So it's just going to be a great celebration. We will have some awards. We always have some awards at our highlight event. Mm-hmm. And this year's honoree of the Community Development Achievement Award is going to be Beth Ann Strollo from QCAP.
Yes,
to say she's deserving is an understatement. Mm-hmm. In fact, when we had the staff meeting each year, sometimes the mayor will nominate somebody, sometimes it will be the staff that nominates and asks for the mayor's approval. And this year, kind of going around the room at the staff meeting, and somebody, you know, said, "How about Beth Ann Strollo?" And I said, "Well, it's a great idea, but I'm pretty sure she got it, and she must have received it already.
She's done so much. She's been in the city over 40 years, right?"
And we looked at the log, and sure enough,
never
she hadn't. And so she shot right to the top of the list. And of course, you know, the mayor said absolutely.
Yeah.
She's well deserving. So we'll have a few other awards that day as well, and it's just a great celebration. And again, happy to keep celebrating that building, because it just has such a great history and unique achievement across the country.
And that's 4 to 6 on the 9th. That also requires folks to RSVP to you, Rhiannon.
Yeah, that is open to anyone. We're just asking for RSVP so we can just make sure we have enough seats for people.
Yes,
but yeah, we'd love to have anyone. Yes,
Okay. After that, you're the last first-time homebuyer class online, right?
Yep, that will be on the last first-time homebuyer course online. Okay. And then Friday from 10 to 12, we'll be at the Council on Aging, the Kennedy Center, to talk about the Aging in Place program that the Office of the Healthy Homes offers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's a relatively new program. That's only been out for about a year now. It's kind of an extension of the housing rehab program.
Yeah.
It was actually, it's a national program. We applied for it twice and didn't get it.
Oh.
And so then we said, well, maybe the Affordable Housing Trust Committee. We asked our local trust fund committee members if they would give us an allocation.
Affordable Housing Trust in Quincy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, paid into by developers to develop in the city.
Correct.
Okay.
And so we're running it in-house directly, without the federal support. And this is a great program, again, for seniors, 62 and up, that might need, you know, safety bars, things to just help them age in place,
it's
pretty self-explanatory.
Right? Yeah.
Up to $5,000 in grant funding for projects. So again, it's sort of an extension of our existing housing rehab program, particularly for those types of programs for that population. So if anybody's interested in learning more, really encourage them to come out to the Kennedy Center and find out some more about it.
Okay, that's April 10th, 10 to noon.
Exactly.
Very good. This is a very busy week, Sean, for CD Week. Yeah.
Well, it's a busy place. It's a busy year.
Yeah.
You know, all the time with all these things that we do. And just, you know, one thing, if I could highlight the first-time homebuyer course is, as Rhiannon mentioned, this does unlock other opportunities too. Once you get that certificate that you've done this, you can also qualify for our in-house first-time homebuyer down payment assistance program, which provides up to $40,000 in down payment assistance if the applicant has 3% down and meets the income restriction.
You know,
a couple of two would need to be under about $104,000, and the maximum purchase price is about $600,000 for a house.
Yep.
But if you know, if you're in that window, this is a great program
that
can help folks become first-time homebuyers in Quincy.
And those income guidelines have increased over the years as well,
yes.
So that's more generous than it has been. A lot more folks will qualify, I would think.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So, Rhiannon, if folks have any questions about CD Week, email you or give you a call. All right.
Well, if anyone's interested, email or call.
Okay. Anything else we should let folks know about right now?
That covered it.
Yeah,
we covered it.
Appreciate
the opportunity to come out here and spread the word.
Yeah, we're happy to help. As part of our mission, too, is to connect the community with services like this that are provided. So we're happy to help. Thanks for stopping by. Have a happy CD week.
Thank you.
Thanks
for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.